her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to
ride it, yes.
She's trying to hide it. I'm
my cool favorite kind of day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You know what it is, it's the old 10-pound, 5-pound. 10 pounds worth of stuff, 5 pounds worth of time. 10-pound, 5-pound. So why don't I waste a little bit more of it explaining the old 10-pound, 5-pound to you guys?
If you really want, we could probably see if Wildy and Tao should give us an hour today.
I think Chewy would be out on that. What do you think, Chew?
I was sneezing, I didn't hear it.
His headset wasn't on.
Joshy, did you see it coming and you kill my mic?
No, I was working on the stream. I couldn't do both.
Yeah.
Jen, what was your question?
Nothing.
Don't worry about it.
But
moving
on.
What? Is Gabe still sad at me for crushing him yesterday?
Oh, my gosh. No, we're moving on.
No, I just signed you up for another hour of work. It's no big deal.
He did, yeah. He goes, Wildy and Tosh would give us an hour if we wanted. We got a lot of stuff to get to today, so we should just get right to it. Radio Row, everybody. Have you ever been to Radio Row, gang? Chew, you ever been to Radio Row? I've never been.
Oh, yeah, I've been, yeah, the two Super Bowls that I played in, yeah, Radio Row. You run the gamut.
Wait, when you were playing, you walked Radio Row?
Yeah.
Wow, that is not how it's done now.
Man, can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes or, like, Travis Kelce was just walking Radio Row?
Crazy. No, they do a media day where they all obviously have their own individual podiums in the stadium. And then, obviously, Radio Row is just for everybody else who's not in the game now, anyway. Maybe it was different back then. But it's a scene. It's a whole thing. There's a vibe. There's an energy. And, yes, there's a lot of people who are trying to fill their microphones with content. And this year, of course, is no different. So, Josh Jacobs. First of all, we love Josh Jacobs. Want to make sure that that's clear and on the record before we get into this.
We love him.
Yeah, I'm not sure everybody does.
Josh Jacobs. So let's go right to Josh Jacobs' appearance on Pro Football Talk Live, because Josh Jacobs was asked what the Packers need. So number two on the sheet, Joshy.
And we probably missing like two or three pieces. And once we get that, we'll be all right.
Yeah. What pieces?
Yeah. I would say, you know, I think we need another DN.
Okay.
I think we need another DB, and then I think we need a wide receiver, real wide receiver.
Miles Garrett, number one,
will be here later.
Yeah, like I love the guys that we have in the receiving room. They all have potential to be one,
right.
But we need a guy that's proven to be one.
Right, command some double coverage every
most
now
definitely.
And then. Right,
yeah.
Well, Christian Watson's talented as hell, but hurt a lot with his hamstrings.
Yeah, I mean
he's impressive, right?
He's impressive,
right?
Man.
Right,
like, when he got it going, he is a guy.
Right,
yeah, for sure.
So, Chew, there was some reaction to Josh Jacobs. Now, that was not the only thing he said. We will get through some of the other comments as the morning goes on. But let me get your initial reaction to Josh Jacobs answering that question about what the Packers need the way that he did.
Totally agree 100%. You can't say that. You can't say it. You can't say it. You can't even say it about the D end. You cannot. That is code. He broke the code. And if I was a receiver in that room, I would call him up and I would say, you know what, go bleep yourself. You can't do that. Especially the real receiver. I would be, like, incensed. Not only would I be incensed. Now, I understand it's a different world and a different game. Holmgren would have had him in his office 3 minutes after that radio interview took place. That's how egregious that is. You can't say that. Jeez. And I totally agree with him. But
is there a way to say it? Like, if he says it, Chew, without the real wide receiver, if he puts it the way we have at times on the show, hey, I think we need a veteran wide receiver. I think we need, you know, kind of a steadying presence to help the youth in that room. Is that better? Can he say that?
Nope. Can't say a thing. Can't even say what... Take the receiver out of it, Gabe. You can't even say what you said about the DNs.
So he can't say,
How would you feel if you were a DN and your running back said that about your position?
So he can't say anything of, hey, I think we're three pieces away. What are those pieces?
You
can
say three pieces away. You could say, I think we need three really good players. And it's got to end right there.
Okay, so devil's advocate here. You think he can say that the team doesn't have everything it needs. He just can't say what it is he thinks they're missing. Am I clear on that? Because for him to say, man, we're good. We got everyone we need in that locker room. We are as close to winning a Super Bowl as we have ever been. You know what we're doing this morning? Okay, Josh Jacobs, whatever you got to tell yourself, right? And we would be criticizing him for being obtuse, right?
Delusional.
Yes. So we're trying to have the dude thread the needle, man, and say, I didn't say that, you look at me like
I was snuck out.
Finest is the word I was looking for. Finest. Thread the finest of needles, the thinnest of needles. Because in order for him to articulate that the team doesn't have everything they need, he has to say what he said without apparently saying what he said. I don't understand why this is a big deal. So, Chu, this is where you and I, and again, it's just where I need you to explain it to me. Because it sounds like at this moment you're telling me it's a big deal because it hurts people's feelings. That's what it sounds like you're telling me. Is that why it's a big deal?
Yeah. You just don't cross that line. And I brought up the example of Brett, right? Brett handled the offense perfectly. He never said, you know, damn it, you got to catch that ball. What are you doing running it at 14 yards? What are you doing this? The first thing, and I said, you know why? Because I'd go right back at him and say, hey, why don't you stop throwing picks? You know, no one's perfect on this field. I'd go back at Josh Jacobs and say, hey, nice fumble, jackass, in the Eagles game. I didn't realize you were so perfect. There is a line, and I know we love it, and radio gives us something to talk about it. But because we love it in radio, doesn't mean it's right in the locker room, right? And this is not going to sit well. And he's going to apologize, and I'd be like, you know what? Take your apology and stick it where the sun don't
shine. Okay, well, that's not a way to handle it either. If the dude apologizes sincerely for saying
something. It's already out there. It's like you grab my girlfriend's boobs. Oh, I'm sorry. You already did it. You already did it.
Well, this is, it's not apples to cantaloupes. It's,
it kind of feels like it.
Melons.
Kind of feels like it. When you say we need a real receiver, which I agree with 1,000%, there is a code. You guys always talk about codes in the locker room. This is the perfect example of a code in the locker room. You do not do that.
Okay,
and again,
having never been in an NFL locker room, Chu, I defer to you on the code. I'm just saying, Jason Wilde was on the Homer Show yesterday and said that there is a sign in 1265 in Lambeau Field that the players walk past regularly that says standard over feelings. Now, I don't think that that was there when you were there. So at some point in the last 40-plus years... Is 40,
whoa,
is
whoa.
90s.
Hold on.
Whoa.
No, you're right. Math.
Hell. Whoa. Whoa.
How many years has it been? 96, 30 years. My bad. Off
no,
by a decade.
25
Let's get
years.
Back on track just because I'm bad
Did
at
you
math.
You hear how old does she called you, Chu?
Doesn't mean the point doesn't stand.
She thinks you're geriatric.
Jason Wilde told...
Gabe, I'm not as sensitive as you are, okay? I got a little
But you're
thicker
defending
skin.
The sensitives this morning. Yes. I'm glad that we cleared that up. There is a sign at 1265 that Jason told Homer yesterday that says, standard over feelings. The reason that sign is there is because the standard is the priority. And sometimes when you're chasing the standard, you might get your feelings hurt. And the point is, don't. If you all are chasing the standard together and you're pulling the rope in the same direction, sometimes somebody might have to tell you that you're not pulling your weight or you're not doing it well enough or that you got to outsource the talent to get where you want to go, to meet those standards. And for me, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with somebody telling me, hey, you're not doing this well enough. You need to get better at this because we believe that the standard is higher than this and your performance is not helping us meet the standard. And it would sting, Chu, it would sting, right? And I would be like, I would have the same reaction that you did. Bleep them and bleep this and I'm bleep me, 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 me. And then I would go, you know what? A little self-awareness never hurt anybody. And if my colleagues are telling me that I wasn't up to par, I wasn't up to snuff, then it's on me to get there or be okay with my organization going and finding someone who will.
But isn't that
Not his
The job. Coach's job. That's the general the manager's GM. Job.
Not your job.
That's not not Josh Jacobs' job.
Yep.
I think would be the perspective of the guy in the locker room. Yeah, then the NFL's a cutthroat business, but it's a cutthroat business for the coaches. I mean, for the players, certainly, but it's up to the coaches and the general manager to hold you to that standard. Yeah, you want leadership to hold you to the standard in the season, in the locker room, but I don't think you want one of your teammates, you know, 3 weeks after your season's done, out there in an interview saying, yeah, we don't have any real wide receivers.
Jen, you're smart enough as a player to know that, look, Elgton Jenkins is better than Rashid Walker, and he's better than Sean Ryan, right? Players know that. That's just the way it works, you know? You don't go attacking people like that. You can think it. It's okay, but you don't say it out loud. Because everyone in that locker room, you know, and we understood that, Brett. Yeah, you are the king. You get A privileges. Brett never walked around like, well, not sorry. In my career with Brett, never walked around and go, hey, pick up that thing for me. Hey, do this for me. Do this. I'm better than you. Never. That's essentially what he's saying.
Well, I mean, other than the tab, you had to pick up the tab because Always, Brett would never pick that up.
Does this go different if it's not public? Is the public the big portion here? Because I have a feeling they've had some tough conversations in there. But when you're at Super Bowl media day and blasting it out to dozens of different outlets, does that make it different to you, Chewy?
Oh, absolutely. Me, Brett, and Frank would sit around and say, this guy sucks. What is he doing on the team? They'd never say that to the media.
Would you say that to the player's face?
No.
I mean, not, hey, you stink, get out of here, but like, hey, you're not up to the standard we need in order to reach a Super Bowl.
No, you do it on the field. Like, and I'll take it, and I'm sure Earl Dotson said it about me. I'm like, Earl, man, come on. You got to give me a little more help than that. You know, come on, step, go, help me out. You got to be quicker, you know? And he probably would say the same thing. Like, come on, help me out a little more. That's where it is, you know?
One of the words that you said, Chu, was attack. And I guess when I hear this, I don't hear an attack at all. I hear criticism. I hear evaluation. I don't Not hear an attack. I get it. It's a fine line. I get it. I think that when you've been exposed to feedback regularly, initially, it's like, whoa, what the? I thought I was great. I thought everything I do is wonderful. And then it happens again. You're like, maybe I do need to tweak a little thing. All right, I'll do the minimum thing. I'll do the minimum thing to be better so that nobody can criticize me anymore. But like, feedback isn't supposed to be negative. Feedback is supposed to be a means to an end. And I get it. Him saying it on Radio Row is probably the wrong place to say it. But I also like the authenticity. And I also like him saying what we all see. We all see it. We all see it. What's that commercial?
That is Progressive.
Rick?
Yes, Dr. Rick.
Dr. Rick. He's Dr. Ricking this thing. We all see it. So we all know that the wide receivers didn't perform up to par. We all know that they regressed, actually, across the board. And we all know that it might have been at least one of the elements that kept the Packers from making a deep run in the postseason and certainly being playing in the game this Sunday versus walking Radio Row. So, again, Chu and I are going to see this thing differently. It doesn't bother me, maybe because I never played in the locker room, maybe because I've never experienced that dynamic. That is entirely possible. But Chu, I don't think it was as bad as people are making it out to be. And you can tell me, as you have, I'm wrong.
It's horrible. I would be waiting for a two-fumble game from him, and then I'd jump his ass.
Yeah, but that doesn't do you any good either.
It is not his job to evaluate other players. Do your job, shut your mouth, play football, do it to the best ability you can, and you move on. This is not going to go away. It ain't going to go away. It wouldn't with me. Certainly wouldn't with me.
Is there any
point? That's why Brett handled it so great. Brett never said, screamed at you for dropping a ball or making. Now, he'll scream at you for making a mental mistake, because that's screamable. But making a physical mistakes happen in a game. It's not his place to say we need a real receiver.
Is there any part of you that, when you heard the full quote, made it seem less? Meaning, he said real wide receiver one. That's not saying we need a real wide receiver. Like, we need a proven guy. Is there any portion of that where when you hear the full quote, it kind of sounds a little bit better?
Well, it seems like he kind of caught himself. He's like, it's almost like, God, it came out of my mouth. I wish I could grab that and pull that back.
Been there.
Play it again. Can you play it again, Joshy?
I sure can. I can play a shortened version for you, and we can slow it down a little bit.
And then I think we need a wide receiver here, a real wide receiver.
Miles Garrett, number one, will be here later.
Yeah, like I love the guys that we have in the receiving room. They all have potential to be one. Right. But we need a guy that's proven to be one.
It's like you crapped on you and like.
Yeah, but couldn't you chalk it up to a mistake? Couldn't you chalk it up to a misstep? Lord knows here on this show, we sometimes say things we don't mean, right? Trying to fill a microphone for 2 hours every morning. Sometimes we. Wait, hold on. No, I didn't mean that. Back up. Right? Like, he tried to explain. He thinks the guys in the room all have potential. Right? Like, he's not dumping on them. He's not pooping on them. But, like, I think people are getting hooked on the real wide receiver part, right?
It's not a great word to use there. Not a great word.
What are the other ones? Fake?
You tell me, Chu. You watch the season. You watch the season.
I'm telling you, if a player ever said that about me, I would be in his soup so quickly. You know?
Is that better than a stew?
I would.
Yeah. What if you get in his stew? Is that better than being in someone's craw?
I'd get in his dish, you know? It's like I said, you can't have all pros at every position. You just can't. And as a player, you know that Bruce Wilkerson, Jen, I knew I had to help Bruce Wilkerson more than I had to help Earl Dotson. That's just the way it is.
But don't those all pros get a little bit of a leash when it comes to leading the team? Like, Josh Jacobs is as close to an all pro as the Packers have.
Well, on offense.
Yes.
Because they have an actual all-pro on defense.
Yes. I'm talking specifically about the offensive side. Yes. You know, again, I think that we'll talk about this all morning long. There is a boatload of reaction rolling in on the Carbless talk and text line. But we got to get to Jason Wilde. So we will continue monitoring and sharing your reactions as the morning goes on to Josh Jacobs' comments on Radio Row about the state of the wide receivers for the Green Bay Packers. Stick around.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Great to get perspective from Jason Wilde, particularly when there is something like this going on with the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I think we need a legit morning show. I mean, what we have right now is good, and it's got a lot of potential to be a great, you know, top-rated morning show. But, you know, I think we need one that's already established and really has done look, it over the course of time.
Look, Jason, Chewy's not working the extra hour, all right? Like, if you want us to start early, Chewy ain't working that extra hour, all right? Let's just go ahead and
call a spade a spade. Yeah. And I would say to Jason what I tell my 5-year-old daughter to say when someone says something that potentially hurts her feelings. Well, that's just your opinion.
Oh, I thought you would spill Matt LaFleur's line and say, hey, standards over feelings.
So I love that you said that, Jason, because I was listening last night when you were on Homer. I had no idea standards over feelings was a mantra in 1265. I'm guessing that I'm not alone in that. When do you think that became a thing, showed up? Like, when did the standards over feelings sign become something that players were expected to follow?
This year. It definitely was something that came up this year that was a new mantra, and Matt LaFleur revealed it to us after they lost to the Bears, I believe, was when he mentioned it. Like he mentioned it in a press conference. It was after the game. It was after they lost to the Bears at home. That was the first time I'd heard him reference it. And then I asked a couple players about it, and yeah, it's on a wall somewhere. And so, you know, do I think that as a teammate, and obviously I want to make it very clear, I was joking about the show. I love the show and it's great. But as a teammate, if I said something like that, how would it be received? And would it lead to some measure of self-reflection in addition to being pissed off about it, right? Because clearly, you know, and I know Jaden Reed, I don't know if he deleted the tweet, but he kind of turned it and made it about the fans who were reacting to what Josh Jacobs said, which, you know, I know there were some other folks that were irritated with it, and I know a couple of my colleagues had gotten, you know, nasty messages about writing about it. What I would have said to anybody who sent me that message is, hey, don't shoot the messenger. Josh Jacobs said it, not me. Like, it carries a lot more heft when it comes from your 1,300-yard running back than when it comes from Jason Wilde or Rob Domofsky. So, you know, I do think, I know Chewy will probably agree with this, I think from a teammate perspective, it's not a great look. At the same time, I do applaud his honesty, and I would hope that in addition to being irritated with him, those guys would look and say, you know what? I'd love to say he's wrong, but I haven't proven that I'm that guy if I'm Dontavian Wicks or I'm Jaden Reed. And so I'm going to take this as motivation to say, hey, we don't need to go out and get a number one. I'm going to become the number one, which is how it's been in Green Bay since before Mark Shimura even pulled on his 89 jersey.
Jason, first off, I think standard over feelings, it relates to the coach and player. It doesn't relate to player to player. Certainly in the media, it doesn't refer to player to player. Okay.
Yeah, but if I gave you that, but you're right. I 1,000% agree. At the same time, if you make that a saying, you know, I mean, what did he do? He basically took standards over feelings out of the building and into the public, right?
Sure.
Because they're not meeting the standard. We would agree that they're not meeting the standard, and what he said hurt their feelings.
Yeah, but you don't say that. I mean, it's one of those things you can think it, but not say it. Jason, would I be fair in saying back in the day?
You would know.
I just want to ask you.
You shouldn't have said it.
Because I think this is the equivalent. Would it be fair to say, like, Earl Dotson, right tackle. Bruce Wilkerson, left tackle. Earl Dotson, much better player than Bruce Wilkerson, right? And I was just saying before you came on, I had to spend more time with Bruce helping him on a combination blocks than I would with Earl. Would it be fair to me to say, hey, we need a left tackle. This we need a real one. You know, I love Bruce to death, but we need a real. You can't say that. Would you agree?
I bet you said that privately when John Michaels was a turnstile.
Yeah. Now, I should have said that publicly. But, Jason, he broke a code. That's something you cannot do. It's okay to think it. It's okay to get frustrated with players on the field. You just can't do that. And I'm telling you, this isn't – I would have called Josh Jacobs and say, hey, you know what? Go pound sand.
So here's the question that I would have for you, though, and that is, what exactly is the next – like, what happens next, right? Like, if you're Matt LaFleur, or if you're his teammates, like, it didn't come from some scrubbini. Like, it came from the guy that basically was the engine for your offense. And when you start to put it together with some of the other things that have also occurred, right? Like, for example, the one interception that Love throws to Zach Bond in the playoff game, Matt LaFleur said very clearly that Malik Heath ran the route at a depth of 15 yards instead of 20, and that's what caused the interception. Now, you know, again, you can say that he's covering for his quarterback, and you say whatever you want, but LaFleur said it. Like, he flat out said it. Again, that would be a standards over feelings, because I'm not sure that Malik Heath wants that out there. But my point is that now what? Like, you're going to call, like, is Matt LaFleur, did he call Josh Jacobs yesterday and say, Josh, come on, man. I agree with you, But you can't be saying that. Like, Jason, what's the next step?
What would Holmgren have done?
Well, it's the off season, so I don't know if he could have summoned you to his office. But, I mean, he would have, I don't know, he might have shown up on your doorstep like like BB and Favre going trick-or-treating.
It is the coaches. It is the position coach. And it is the GM's job to be critical of players in positions. And Gabe, you know, me and you watched a lot of 22 and whatever that thing is.
It's the offseason. You don't have to remember the name of it.
Okay, I mean, standards over feelings, Gabe.
Standards over feelings, Jason. I've lost.
Those are his standards.
The discipline of these route runnings by the receivers, and I saw them every week, they should hold the receivers coach. There is no attention to detail whatsoever in that room. You want to fire someone. You want to be critical of the D-line. Be critical of the receivers coach. You know, and I'm sure he's a nice guy and all this, but I just think, and even the line before about the defensive line, you can't say that. You just can't. As a player, Jason, you know that Mike Pryor is not as good as Leroy Butler. Right?
You can't.
So what do you say? Pryor sucks. We need
later.
To get rid of him. It's just, I mean, this, I like Josh Jacobs. Now I don't like Josh Jacobs at all. I just don't like that. That is enough to turn sour on the guy.
Jason, do you think that? Do you think this is going to linger all the way to minicamp?
Well, obviously, as reporters, we're going to ask about it the next time we have any sort of availability. Now, I believe Josh Jacobs is going on the tailgate tour in April, so I can guarantee you.
Are any of the wide receivers there?
That's a great question, Gabe. If they're going to be taking separate buses, so I can guarantee you we'll ask him then. I mean, look, I think there's a couple of things here, right? And I was saying this to Homer last night. And we've been, I mean, I've been to Radio Row a couple of times. I've done, you know, when the Packers were in Dallas in 2010, I did a bunch of shows there. Like, it's an energetic scene, right? And you can get a little swept up in it. Like, do I think that Josh Jacobs, had I asked him that at his locker, he might have said that? Do I also think that his desire to get Davante Adams on the roster is fueling that opinion? Yes. But, I think he's not wrong in what he said, and what would concern me if I'm the Packers, in addition to my star running back coming out and saying this, would be the fact that he's right and that this group did not take the jump that we all expected. I mean, remember, I was asking Goody and LaFleur about this in their postseason press conferences. I'm sure Josh has the clip somewhere. Like, LaFleur's trying to give me this milquetoast answer, and I actually interrupt him toward the end of his lengthy wandering. It was kind of like one of my questions, frankly. He wondered if he had a point. And I said, Matt, but you had Davante Adams. You know how that changes the dynamic. And it was almost like he snapped into it and said, yeah, look, they cover you differently, and I got a better answer from him. When I talked, you know, when we had our Goody press conference, I went through the lineage from Sharp all the way to Adams, because Adams was the last time. And all of those guys, what do they have in common? They weren't acquired from elsewhere. They all rose up and became number one wide receivers organically. And obviously that's what this team expected by drafting three guys in 2022 and three guys in 2023 and then zero guys in 2024. They thought, by now, one of these guys will have taken the bull by the horns and become that guy. And they were wrong. And now, this is why this conversation is occurring.
Jason, I have a quick one for you here. When I heard this, I thought back to August 13th when you asked about wide receiver ones and Matt LaFleur said, this question makes me sick. How do you think he received Josh Jacobs' comments?
I should have been nicer to Wildy when he asked me that. I think he's probably like Chewy. I do. I think he's thinking, okay, you're not wrong, but you were wrong to say it out loud, right? Like, because look, LaFleur, when he said that to me, and again, it didn't bother me in the moment. You know, it did get a little bit elevated in our exchange when he responded that way. But the fact of the matter is that he has to do that because Davante Adams wasn't walking through that door. And whether I think he probably believed it at the time, but I don't think with 19 games of or 18 games of evidence from the 2024 season and watching as you lost Watson in the finale and then you lost Reed and Romeo in the game due to injuries against Philly, I don't see how he could still look at it and go, this question makes me sick. Instead, it should be, this question makes me think, and we got to figure out a way to either get somebody to elevate or get somebody else, because the way it operated last year was not good enough.
Jason, good stuff. I know that you and Tausch will talk about this morning on Wildy and Tausch as well. We have a boatload of comments rolling in. People feel very strongly about this on both sides of the aisle, so we will continue sharing that reaction as the show rolls on. Have a great one, sir.
As long as they agree with me, that's all I care about. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wildy. You can hear him on Wildy and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, we got to take a quick break. I want to get to some of this reaction, guys. People have a lot of things to say. Remember, you can always call in as well on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. We will get to your reaction right after this.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get it from?
I just assumed. When I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Reaction rolling in to Josh Jacobs' comments on Radio Row yesterday. Jen weighing in saying someone needs to hold these wide receivers accountable. It doesn't appear that Jordan Love held any of them accountable during the season. Ryan from Iguanago says there is no attack. It is a call to battle. He's a veteran leader and the Packers have no other leaders. Jared says you got to keep that in-house. Saying it to the media is like going behind someone's back, which eventually gets back to them, and then they're like, WTF. Ryan says, Chewy, if you lead the league in drops, you wouldn't be in this situation. I think we all know that the wide receivers did not perform at the level that they needed to or the level we expected to or the level that meets the standard of the Green Bay Packers. And I think that a lot of people are saying because they fell short of goals, someone needs to call them out. Chewy, your point is that needs to be the wide receivers coach, that needs to be the head coach, that needs to come from somebody higher up in the food chain, not on the same level.
Correct. I really don't care what you say unless you played in an NFL locker room and you know what it takes to get to a Super Bowl, so it's all noise to me.
Someone inside 1265 finally kept it real, and now we're mad at him, ? Wide receiver by committee didn't work. Green Bay's best offensive player is keeping it real. I hope that Goody listens. That from TC. Let's go ahead.
I want to get something. I'm not mad at him.
No.
I'm not mad at him for saying this. I understand why Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed are mad at him. Like, I understand that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not mad at Josh Jacobs for saying this at all.
I think we need to also draw a line here. Chewy, the radio personality, loves this. It's drama, things to talk about.
Oh, Chewy loves drama. Chewy loves it.
Yeah. He's talking about his time in a locker room and how he would feel if somebody said that about his position. Now, he agrees. He said it clearly, right? I think that there's a very big difference there.
Well, and compare it to, you know, talking about keeping things in-house. When Rashawn Gary won, you know, had the season he had, and Jeff Hafley was asked about it. Like, Hafley's like, oh, well, yeah, the sacks aren't up there, but he's setting the edge real great. Like, even when he gets up to the podium, I'm sure he's saying different things behind closed doors and trying to figure out different ways to get more out of Rashawn Gary, but he steps up to a microphone, and he doesn't want to cause any drama for his player. where this will cause the drama. Now, this is something the Packers, whether you want to admit it or not, this is something the Packers have to deal with. Like, this is drama they now have to deal with because Jacob said it and the way that the wide receivers reacted to it on social media.
So, do people actually believe that there's no line? That there is no line?
You tell me, Chu. Where's
the line?
Whatever
the hell you want.
That you do it?
Yeah, you've been getting away with it for years.
I don't play anymore.
You don't? Yeah, but there's a line on the radio that you like to cross.
Oh, this is getting way, this is getting way too close to home now, huh, buddy?
Josh, according to management, I have not crossed the line yet. Yeah. I've come close.
Recently.
Yeah.
Josh told you use a different metaphor this morning, still used it.
I do want to mention this, guys, because I think it is an interesting and relevant note. There are a lot of people who are reflecting on what Tucker Kraft said at the end of the year when the Packers lost and Tucker Kraft stood at his locker and said, as a team, we need to wake up. He would go on to note exactly what many Packers fans are feeling after the loss. Regular season success is cool. Making the playoffs is fine and dandy. But in the end, it is about winning a championship in Green Bay. Tucker Kraft says those things a little more ambiguous.
Yes.
Not pointing at specific people, but basically saying we're not good enough. Is this a continuation of that in any way?
No, that's fine because you called out the team as a whole. That's not a problem whatsoever. And it's probably true, right? That's why I would have asked a question to LaFleur like, what do you think he meant by that? You guys got to get me up there. Are they Zoom call?
You got to get up there. You know, I am willing to do whatever it takes, whatever you want, getting you a helicopter up there. I will do whatever you need me to do to get you to a press conference.
Is that question worth asking?
What's the question?
Because about Tucker Kraft? Like, what do you think he meant by that? I would ask LaFleur. To me, that screams commitment problem. Like, there is a commitment problem. And you're never going to get how many guys are in a locker room to totally commit. But you need 95-93% of them to totally commit. To me, that sounds like, hey, we got 70 guys that are committed, or 70% that are committed, and the other 30 not committed. That's what it screams of to me. That's fine, but he didn't go, you know what, these linebackers, they don't go in the weight room. They're, you know, they're all nice guys, but they're never in the weight room. They're never doing extra conditioning. Can't say that.
Let's go out to the phone line. Jim in Sockville waiting patiently to chat with us. Good morning, Jim. What are your thoughts on this situation with the Packers?
Well, the first thing, I heard that on Kay Adams and on Radio Row, two programs. And even when he said, I think it was on Kay Adams, he said, we're missing two or three places. I was immediately playing out the conversation you all are having right now. I don't necessarily even think it's a locker room issue. I think it's a life issue. I mean, I think anyone in a professional setting, if that comment was said by a colleague, would have the kind of response Mark did. Now, the best thing he can do is chalk it up just to being stupid rather than it being a serious comment, and then maybe just being a stupid fan and forgetting him was a player. But, immediately when I heard it, I was playing out this discussion in my mind and fully expecting it.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
How tough do we think it is for Josh Jacobs to walk this back? Because, yes, he said the real wide receiver one thing on one show, but then he went on another show and continued to talk about how they need a wide receiver one. They need all these. Like, he went on multiple shows yesterday and continued the same talking points. It's tough to say,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was a mistake, when you like do it multiple times on multiple different shows.
I think if he says to his teammates, Chu, hey, you guys know I want to win. I think we're close. You guys know we're close. You guys know that having another guy in that room would elevate everybody. And I don't want this to be a thing. I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I just was trying to give an honest assessment of where I think the team is. And then I think the response to that has to be, I hear ya, sucked, don't love it. I accept your apology. We're going to get better. right? Because again, the next domino in this, guys, is if the Packers don't do anything at that position, then this is really a thing. Because then it is incumbent on all of those guys who currently exist in that wide receiver room to elevate their play, to step up. Because whatever they did this year wasn't good enough. Everybody knows that. But right now, if Goody doesn't go out and get a Davante Adams or a T. Higgins or whoever else is in the mix there, then to me, it becomes even more of a talking point. It becomes even more of an issue. Chew, we got to get to break. Hold on to what you want to do because we got to get to Superb Owl Squares. We will do that. We will continue this conversation. And we still got to get to the Chris Middleton trade yesterday with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's why I said it's a 10-pound, 5-pound day, guys. 10 pounds of stuff, 5 pounds of time. Gabe, go ahead.
An incredible deal. It is BOGO right now for your Screaming Sicilian favorites. Hurry. While this offer lasts, it's going on right now through February 18th at your local Pick and Save and Metro Market stores. Taste what all the screaming is about. That's right. BOGO. Buy one. Get one on all your Screaming Sicilian favorites. You heard us talk about Screaming Sicilian all the time, whether it's the regular, whether it's the stuffed crust, the thin and crispy, the tavern style, Detroit style. All those are the Screaming Sicilians. And right now, you can get buy one, get one at your local Pick and Save and Metro Market stores. Just gear up. Make sure you got a couple of those in your freezer for the big game coming up on Sunday because at Palermo's, flavor is our family's business.
800-990-3776. This is your cue to call. Get your dialing fingers ready. Time to play Superb Owl Squares. 800-990-3776.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Let's go out to the phone lines to play Superb Owl Squares. We begin with Sam in Kenosha. Sam, you're up first. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Sam, you get this question right. You get 10 squares on our Superb Owl Squares board. Then the numbers are going to be randomly assigned, just like the squares on the board. Whoever gets the final score in the big game coming up on Sunday, matching up those two numbers, will win our grand prize for Superb Owl Squares. Your question to kick off today: who is the only quarterback to throw 6 touchdown passes in a single Super Bowl?
Kurt Warner?
That is incorrect. Chewy is correct. Chewy's batting like 90% on these.
He's doing so well. He had one episode where he missed them both, but otherwise he's nailed them. Oh, sorry. That's Joe, he lost them. Yikes. Got so excited about the answer. Yeah.
All right, Joe, here you go. Your question is, which stadium has hosted the most Super Bowls?
New Orleans.
That is correct. The Superdome is hosting its 8th Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. That is the correct answer.
Did you know that one, Chew?
Yeah.
Joe and Kiwaskum, you're our big winner this morning. You will get 10 random squares on our Superb Owl Squares board with a chance to win after the big game this Sunday.
I'm so excited. Like, we're just over a page into the questions. Like, we have so many questions left and only 3 more winners to give away. This is so exciting.
Well, go to the tough ones then, Gabe.
I'm just reading
them
in order.
Make them sweat a little bit.
Huh? I'm just reading them in order.
Okay.
Because again, Chewy, we could have asked what hand did Brett Favre throw the football with last year and people were getting them wrong.
Yeah, but this year they studied. They're dialed in and they love it. Let's turn up the heat a little bit though.
All right. All right, we've got some tougher ones, I think, that are on the horizon.
And then anything we don't use, Chew, because it feels like we're not going to use all of these, we should give to you because you're doing well.
You guys haven't figured out why I want the tougher questions. Less work for me.
If we keep
going longer,
you don't have to contribute.
Correct. 2 M's. That's right.
Pam.
2 M's.
Chewy, who is the winningest coach in the Super Bowl era without a Super Bowl appearance?
The winningest coach. Let me just pull up teams here.
What? You're cheating.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at the teams. The winningest coach without a Super Bowl appearance.
That's probably what he put into Google, too.
Would it be Mike Shanahan? Oh, no, his son.
Kyle's been to two Super Bowls.
Yeah, but you said didn't win.
Hasn't even been to.
No,
then it's probably Matt LaFleur.
That is incorrect.
Are we talking all time?
All time. All time.
She said recent
Super
history.
Bowl era. Holy moly. What is happening right now? It's Marty Schottenheimer. That wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
That's on you. That's on you. He just told you he's taking the segment off, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to put you to work. And then it blew up in your face.
It's an excellent point by you, Dave. Way
expecting
to go.
Chew to do work.
We'll take a break. Be right back after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.